everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And as always, we're having a real talk with a real leader, a next gen real leader today. Before we get started, I want to give a big shout out and thank you to our founding partners, Hijinks Agency, Felicia Hall Allen and Associates, and 6to8 Digital. Thank you all so much for joining us today. And thank you, Mia, for coming on.
Thank you, Shauna, for having me. I am so excited to chat today. And yeah, couldn't be more excited to be on here.
Awesome, awesome. So folks, Mia Len is the manager of global partnership sales at the Milwaukee Bucks. And I always give you guys context as to how I know my guests. So Mia came to me through my great friend who was my boss when I was at the New Jersey Nets. And I talked to you all about him quite a bit. He's one of those like legend people that I'm always like, Matt Pizzeris, this or that. So Matt Pizzeris is the chief business development and strategy officer at the Bucks. And one day, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I got an email from him that was like, oh, I saw you're going to be speaking at this conference. So it was the Sponsorship Mastery Conference in Seattle. And he said, one of my team members, Mia Len, is going, would you meet her and kind of like introduce her around a bit and everything? And I'm like, anybody that Matt is like, you need to meet, or any, and it's also, I have a rule of like anything for Matt Pizzeris.
The best role.
Exactly. So that is how I came to know Mia. And so we had a chat before we got to the conference. And I'll tell you what, folks, we had this great conversation, and at no time during the conversation, Mia, did I think of your age or your experience. And I think I even said to you that you were so like won me over, where it was like you were far beyond your years. So, you know, it's such a testament to what you've done in the short time in your career, moving up at the Bucks the way you have. So I would love for you to share with folks, what is your role now and what's been your evolution since college to get to that seat?
Yeah, absolutely. So my role now, like you said, it's the manager of global partnership sales. And so I work under Matt Pizzeris, who heads up our business development department. And I'm on the sales side, which we have our activation side of our team and then our sales side. So we have 5 sellers on the team. I report to Mallory LePage, who I know you know as well, Shauna. I'm sure we'll talk about her later. But I report to her, and there's 5 sellers on the team, and we're all focused on bringing on new partners to the Bucks family. And then before that, I was on the ticket sales side with the Bucks as well. And so I started with the Bucks fresh out of college in June of 21, and started as a sales associate, essentially the inside sales team on the Bucks. And then from there, about 4 months in, joined our account executive team, where I was focused mainly on B2B sales for ticket plans, hospitality options, suite rentals, any of that fell into my bucket. And then in July of this past year of 22, I was fortunate enough that the spot on Matt's team and under Mallory opened up, and they luckily chose me along with another teammate of mine from the ticket sales world as well with the Bucks. And so now we're going on about month 4 here, and it's flown by. It feels like it's been 4 days. I don't know how it's been 4 months, but it's been amazing since, and just so lucky to have had the belief in me from so many people within the organization that I've been able to have so far. And so it's been amazing. It's been a dream, not to sound cliche, but I couldn't have asked for a better situation, in full honesty.
That's amazing. But that is like quite a lot of leaps in a short period of time. So, I mean, break that down for us. So it was Boston, right? Was college to Milwaukee. I mean, that's a big transition. Were you at all nervous about that adjustment, moving to a new place? I think you had told me you didn't know people in Milwaukee. You were just like, I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah, I said, all right, I'm going. So yeah, it definitely was not easy. Boston, the East Coast, that was all I'd known. I went to school no more than 90 minutes from where I grew up. So I was very much so a homebody. It was always my reputation growing up. I loved being home. I love my family, still do. But you know, being a COVID grad, so to speak, I kind of like took a moment where I was like, all right, I can either stay where everything's familiar, where I know everything. And yeah, I could maybe look for jobs in the area. And I definitely did explore. But ultimately, when it came down to it, when I was going through the old school pro con list and figuring all those things out, I wanted to push myself out of my comfort zone and do something I'd never done. I always looked at people who went to schools and colleges far away and wondered what it would be like to do that. And so I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. And if I don't like it, their home will always be there. I can always go back. So I took the leap of faith. So if we want to call it that, it sounds a little bit dramatic for just moving away from home, but I moved out to Milwaukee, didn't know anyone. The only real connection I had was just through a program I was part of through the NBA League office. So that's how I had ultimately landed the job. So I knew people just from the virtual landscape. I knew my boss, I knew the VP of the department, and well, I guess I knew my two bosses. But beyond that, there wasn't anyone who I had met in person or anything like that. So it was a very scary transition. And ultimately, I had to really just force myself to do something uncomfortable, and that scared me. And looking back, it's the best decision I could have done, because I mean, I look at all the people I've met, the relationships I've formed, the people and friends and coworkers who have turned into family away from home. I mean, it's so special and makes me emotional thinking about it, because that was only a year and a half ago. And then, I mean, coming in when we won the finals too, definitely didn't hurt the transition. So I'm very fortunate for how all the factors played in my favor and in the organization's favor. So yeah, ultimately, I'm really glad that I took the chance and moved to Milwaukee. And I don't think I ever would have thought I'd say that if I were to ask myself even 3 years ago, would you ever move to Wisconsin? I don't think I would have.
Now, I love that you shared all of that, because I think that anybody who's listening, no matter what stage of their career they're in, I think there can often be this trepidation of, do I take another job at another location, or even if it's in the same location, taking that. And you're right, it is a leap of faith. And at different parts in your career, I think there's always a factor in your life that makes it feel like a leap of faith. I think it's just great for us to hear. And I love how you said that, you know, you were just like, now's the time to do it. And the part about home will always be there. And I think that was something that I learned early on. We were joking earlier before we started this, about, you know, when I started my career, the woman at the NBA office who was interviewing me was like, you ever heard of Asheville, North Carolina? And I'm like, nope, but if you want me there on Monday and it's Thursday, I'm there. You know, so I think sometimes it is an element of just getting on that train, almost like go for it, because it's experience either way, right? If it's good or it's bad, you're going to learn. It's just like part of the journey. So I'm glad that you shared that with us. But so that's a bit of your evolution in kind of like how you got to Milwaukee. But from ticket sales to corporate sales, that's a big difference. And there's a lot of people in the audience who know the sports entertainment industry, but I think a lot of people do, you know, they get into the industry on the ticket sales route. And when you got in, was that your thought of like, I want to get, like, that's my entry place? Did you know you wanted to get into corporate sales? I'm so curious, because I think back to it, I'm like, I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's the million-dollar question. And in full transparency, I always knew I wanted to work in sports, but what within sports, I didn't really know until I had taken part in that program put on by the league and was introduced to the revenue generation side of the business. So that program showed me two sides to it, ticket sales and then partnership sales. So I had exposure to both, but from my mentors who were active in my life at that point and still are, and just from kind of absorbing as much as I could. I wanted to start in ticket sales because in what other capacity am I going to get hung up on making 80 calls a day? Just, it's an absolute grind of a job. And so similar to moving out here, I was like, all right, this is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hard. I've never done a sales job or internship before. So it's going to put me outside of my comfort zone. And to your point earlier, it's going to be an experience, whether it's good or bad. And so, and I told this to everyone I talked to in the department, I said, you know, I acknowledge that I'm very young and I still am. I don't know what I want to do in 20 years. I am telling you that I'll put my all into ticket sales and I will treat every day with a fresh start and with the mentality that I'm going to put everything I have into it and learn as much as I can. And the thought of it, and from what I know about it, really excites me. And I think it is something that I would love. And it, like the core of it, building relationships with people, getting to connect fans and just sports attendees to the bigger, broader platform that sports does provide, and being able to bridge that gap between, you know, the community and the team. That's all stuff I was passionate about. So I thought, yeah, like this is something that I can wake up every day and be excited about. So I started out in it, absolutely loved it. And still to this day, it taught me so many experiences. So I can't even express how much I learned from being in ticket sales for the year and some that I was part of it. And so ultimately with being in ticket sales, I said, you know what? I'm young. I want to still take this time to learn as much as I can about the business, and it's still something I'm doing. And so through that, I just set up as many conversations with as many people in the organization as I could, just to get to know what everyone does in the business. And in my mind, I was like, maybe I'll find another area of the business that I really like and been intrigued by. And I knew a little bit about partnerships from that. And so I was naturally inclined to reach out to people, one of them being Matt. And so we still talk about it. Like, I remember the day, clear as day, we had sat down and I had actually ran into him in the elevator like a few days before and was like, hey, I know you because like my mentor back in Boston had said to reach out to you. Would love to set up some time to talk. So him being Matt was like, all right, let's do it tomorrow. It was like a quick turnaround like that. I was like, wow, that was really nice of him. So we sat down, he told me what partnerships was and gave me some more insight. And like from that conversation, I was just really, really fascinated by it and could totally see myself in it. And then a few mentors that really turned into great friends of mine were in that area as well, whether they were internal or external. Obviously, Mallory is still a huge mentor of mine, and she played a part in that as well and just teaching me what partnerships is. And so over time, that was like a few months into my time in ticket sales. Over time, I really fell in love with the partnerships landscape. I loved different parts of the box, but that was the one that just stuck. And every conversation I'd have about it just lit this fire underneath me. So I would do regular one-on-ones with a few people in that department throughout the rest of my time in ticket sales. And every time I would talk to them, it was just something else would stick and something else would make me want to go learn more about something else. And I didn't have anything like that before. So that's ultimately what made me realize that, yeah, partnerships is where I want to be. It's where I think my passions are best utilized to their maximum capacity. And so from there, luckily, everything worked out in my favor, which I know I'm very lucky and fortunate to be able to say, because I know it can be tough getting in, going from ticket sales to partnerships. But I'm just, I mean, all I can do is thank Matt and Mallory and the whole team for giving me the opportunity, because without the opportunity, I would just be sitting here saying that I'm passionate about partnerships and want to get into it.
Right. But I think that, you know, the way that you describe that, again, I say like evolution, it really was like you learned about it. You put yourself out there. And I mean, I was actually saying this to you in preparing for this, like, you networked like a boss. When I saw you at that conference, just like your comfort level in who you are and how you interact with people, I can really see how that relationship building comes so natural to you. But I think, like, especially for people who are listening, and again, no matter where you are in your career, you might have an interest in something, and it's a bit of a, it's like, it's so great the way you've described it, because it reminds us of that like passion and excitement. And if you have some interest in it, the more you put yourself out there to learn, to ask people for meetings, I mean, I would have been, if I were in your shoes and saw that in the elevator, you know, at that time in my career, I might have been like, oh God, get out of the elevator.
Yeah,
but it's a testament to you, and like you're not just lucky, it didn't just fall in your lap, you pursued it with passion, and you know, and so I think like you have yourself to thank in it too. And I think that's part of what made, when the first time I met you, I was like, I want her on the show. Like, you are a next gen leader. You are leading in your own journey and an example to all of us. So, you know, thank you so much for the way you shared that. And, I love when you talked about Mallory a bit, and you beat me to it talking about her. So folks, so Matt at one time, I guess, I know, maybe a couple of years ago now, introduced me to Mallory LePage. She's a director in the corporate sales, partnership sales division. And right away, the same thing right away. She's so great. So down to earth. I mean, she just knows her stuff. Right. And so I invited her to this, it's called the Ladies Circle, which I know makes me sound like I'm like on my rocker chair or something, but of like female executives, that I'm a part of in very much in the sports industry. So brought her into that. And, you know, I wonder what it's like for you to have two great leaders, you know, one, obviously Matt as a male and, you know, has more experience and has been different places. And then Mallory as a female, you know, and I say that because if people who are listening, if you're not in the industry, I think there's been a huge need for more women in sales. And so I love to see that. So I'd love for you to talk a bit about what's it like having the two of them, maybe how they are they different? What, you know, anything you really learned from each of them uniquely?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I would love to talk about the two of them. I could do it all day. So I think the bottom line, and this is something I remember Mallory told me a while back when we had first met, she's like, just make sure that the people in your corner have your best interests and that they really do want to lift you up. And that is the epitome of what both Matt and Mallory are to me. Like, they're in my corner and they're going to fight for me no matter what. And it's so amazing to have that. Words truly can't do it justice, because it just empowers you so much when you have people like that supporting you and cheering you on. And there's going to be tough conversations, but there's also going to be good conversations, and they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other, and vice versa. And so I think to start like with Mallory, having, to your point, a female seller, there's only so many in the league. We have a call with one another, like it's a tight knit circle. And so before I even officially joined the team with the Bucks on the partnership side, I knew that I wanted to work for a female seller. Like, that was in a way non-negotiable for me, because I wanted to have that person to look up to who understood what it was like to sell as a female and who could relate to those things on that personal basis, because you really can't separate those two things in the workplace as a female seller. Like, there's certain things that Mallory can say, hey, I went through this and this is how I handled it. And so being able to have that on a daily basis where I can walk up to her, message her, like, it really does make all the difference. And so she's really just taught me how, and once again, this is one of the first things she said to me. She's like, I just want to uplift other powerful females in the industry. And she's done just that for me, just seeing how she handles day-to-day conversations, how she carries herself in the office, out of the office. And like, if you ask anyone, they'll say Mallory's just such a genuine person. And that's what I've really been able to take away from her, is just being your genuine and authentic self. And that's going to look differently for her than it will for me, than it will for Matt. But being able to take the lesson of that and what it means to just be you unapologetically, that is so huge. And it carries both in my professional life and personal life, whether it's in a sales conversation or it's just talking with a friend outside of work. And so that's been huge. Like, And I tell them this all the time, whether it's Mallory or Matt, like the time they've invested in me has meant the world, because they could have just said, oh, that's really cool, you're interested and good luck. But they have gone out of their way to include me in meetings, send me resources, meet with me. Like the amount of time, sometimes I really sit down and reflect on it, it blows my mind how much they've invested in me. And so I absolutely owe it to them to be able to show them, okay, yes, like you weren't just investing nothing. I really am in this with you all. So Mallory, I can't thank her enough for everything she's done. And then Matt, once again, from the start, like I was fresh out of college, asked him to sit down and was just asking him all these questions, trying to learn as much as I could in the 30 minutes we had. And the thing that I just, every time, leaves me in awe and is just, wow, I can't believe he does that, is anytime I walk into his office, anytime we have any sort of one-on-one, he's like, I'll make as much time as you need for whatever you need. If you need an hour, we can sit down for an hour. If you need to come in, walk in and say, hey, Matt, I need to talk to you. And for that, like, we all know how busy Matt is. We know his calendar is full to the max. And so for someone like him and in his position and the schedule that he has to say that, like, that is so indicative of the person and professional he is, because he's not too good for anything. He will do anything for anyone who's fully invested and fully cares. Like, he's not just going to do it for anyone who's lollygagging, but he really is intentional about being present wherever he is. And I know there's a saying, like, be where your feet are. And I think he's the definition of that, because if I'm having a conversation with him, I know he's going to be fully there and he's going to be fully present. And if I need him and I need to just ask him or bounce an idea off of him, like, I can walk into his office and I feel like that's, I don't know if it's rare, but I'm definitely very fortunate to have someone like that. I haven't been at other organizations to know what it's like elsewhere, but I can confidently say I'm very grateful that that is the case, because once again, like, I know how much he has on his plate, and for him to just have that mentality where, yeah, whatever you need, I got you and I'm in your corner. Like, that, to my point earlier, is just as empowering as it can be. And those two, man, they are special individuals.
They are special. It is rare, I will say. And I'm just like beaming with excitement and, you know, for you, as I said to you when we were together in Seattle, like, you could not be with two better leaders. And I love the fact that you have both of them there for you. And that part about being present, and I'm glad you're talking about it, because again, as people are listening, we've heard the impact that it makes when you are a more senior person and you put the time and energy and you are present for someone. And it was funny when you were saying it, I guess I had kind of forgotten different points along the way with Matt, but what you're saying is so true. I remember sometimes if I walked in and he was doing something, sometimes if like his phone was in his hand, he would literally open his drawer and put his phone away.
Wow.
You know, and it was, it just, it means so much. And not just like, oh, emotionally, it means so much. Like the impact on someone's career, and to your point, and empowerment, it means so much, because that instills such confidence in you. So I think, again, for people who are listening, if you're a more experienced leader, this is a testament to what that kind of leadership can do. And if you are someone who's coming up, you know, Mia, you've shared so many things about the proactive efforts you've taken, about the importance of being your authentic self, truly connecting, developing relationships. I mean, you know, even going back to when we were first talking about taking that leap of faith and getting out of your comfort zone. And, you know, these are all things that you've been such, again, nobody did this for you. No one's doing it for you. When you've talked about you give it your all, like, again, it's inspiring, no matter what stage of someone's career, to hear you talk about this is awesome. So I just thank you so much for sharing all this. And I want to pause on something about the, I'm air quoting for people who are not, who are listening and not watching, the female seller, air quote. So it's interesting, because I think that I've heard some women in the industry who don't like that term of female seller. And I think that, so I can kind of see both sides of it. On one side, it's like, I'm not I'm a seller. Like, I'm not necessarily, like, don't couch me as a female seller, but at the same time, there are some unique experiences as a woman who's selling in what is still pretty male dominated industry. And in a space of selling that we need more women in that space. So I can kind of see both sides of it. And I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I was actually just reading an article about this. Like, it was on the other side of, to your first point, I don't want to be called a female, and I forget what other title it was. It wasn't a seller, but it was something else. And I had never really thought about the other side to it. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because I agree with you. I can see both sides to it. I think for me, and you kind of touched on this, like, being a female seller has shaped me and formed me into the seller that I am and have been for the short time that I have been. I mean, it's only been a year and a half, but with that said, there's certain experiences that I've had because I'm a female that have shaped me to have to carry conversations in a different way. I have to present myself in certain ways that maybe other people don't need to think about. And maybe in a male dominated space, like, for a lot of male sellers, they probably don't have to think twice about certain things. And I think it is a blessing in many ways, because it really does force me, and I can only speak from my experience, but it really forces me to have to always be in tip-top shape and always carry myself in certain ways, especially, like, yeah, the aspect of being female, then the aspect of being definitely on the younger side. Like, there's certain things that are unique to my experience that I'm personally proud of, to be able to say, yeah, like, I'm a female seller, I'm younger than most people in this space, and I still have people in my corner who believed in me. I believe in myself, and that's all I need at the end of the day. And so I, to my point earlier, can most definitely see both sides, but I think at the end of the day, it's all about how you picture it. You know, what I may view it as, I see it definitely as a positive thing. And to someone else, maybe, and to their own power, maybe they don't want to be known as that for whatever personal experience they've had earlier. And so I think that's the cool thing, is it's unique to everyone. And so for me, I'm always going to say, yeah, I'm a female seller, but maybe the person next to me would be like, no, I'm a seller. And there's power in both of those statements, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I would venture to say, from my own experience with Matt, I think that when having a male leader, now here I go with the pronouns, right? But, or I mean, not pronouns, but gender-fying people. But I think something that was so important when I was coming up with Matt as a leader, I never felt different in a way that I felt maybe vulnerable, or it was always, I felt I was always being challenged as an employee, as a staff member, as someone that he, and it didn't matter if I was a man or a woman, he was going to treat me the same way. He was going to have the same level of expectations. He was going to be willing to spend, you know, that time, you know, shaping my career because of what I was putting into it. So I think for me, and I, because there's a lot of women who are maybe in my generation, my era, or, you know, that came up and didn't have that experience with a man who was their boss. And so I think that, again, like, as people are listening, when you are in that position of leadership and those people are in your care, the way that you operate with them makes such a difference in shaping their experience. So I'm so grateful. I never had a lot of the experiences that I heard other women having who were coming up, who were, you know, in a similar kind of situation that I was in.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And to add on to that, like, I couldn't agree more, because Matt, we have employee resource groups. And so one of them is our Women's Initiative Network. And Matt is so involved in that, like, so involved doesn't even do it justice, but he is an active advocate in that group, always looking to be involved and help out however he can. And so little examples like that, where, to your point, it really does make all the difference when, you know, there's an event for that group, and I know that if I go, I'm going to see Matt there, and he's going to be supporting, and it really does empower you, because you know that, okay, yeah, there's a male seller on my team, but there's also me, and there's also another female seller. Like, I see other people who look like me, and I also see other people who don't look like me. And that's the power of it, having a diverse group and a diverse group of minds. And I know that Matt does believe in that, and he wants that, which, yeah, to your point, not everyone does have, and it does make all the difference.
It makes a huge difference. And the way you spoke about it, about diversity, is so true. When I was coming up with Matt, like, it was just so natural for the two of us, because how we believe to build a diverse team. So, you know, we didn't have people that weren't all men, all white, all, you know, and it was really powerful. And again, I think that helped me, because he was obviously more senior than me, so he was really making it happen. But to be a part of that was so impactful. So anyway, again, just as people are hearing this, I think it's great to see two generations of people, I guess you could say, you know, and just like how much these things can make a difference. So I want to fast forward a little bit and talk about the power of partnership with the Bucks. I mean, so funny. So folks, we were at this conference, and someone comes running up to me. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it out loud. It was basically like, could you please get me Giannis's autograph? And I was like, wait, what? Does that actually happen to you? She's like, yes, all the time. So it must be interesting for you to be just part of, like, it's like this phenomenon of the star power that he brings. The Bucks just like took off as a team the last several years. And, you know, so I would love for you to talk a bit about that, you through the lens of like the power of partnering with the global entity that the Bucks is. I think back in the day, people thought about, oh, they're just like regional when you're, you know, because it's Milwaukee Bucks, but it's not, it's a global platform. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I don't even know where to start with that, but I think I'm going to start with just the idea of the power and the platform that sports has. And for me, that's why I'm in it. Like, at the end of the day, if I'm able to use sport for good in my day-to-day, like, job complete, that's all I need. And so being fortunate enough to work for an organization as amazing and as powerful as the Bucks, like, that's something I really try not to take for granted. Like, at some point throughout each day, I really do try to just have one of those pinch me moments where I'm like, I'm in the Bucks office, I'm working in the front office, and this is my job. Like, I'm getting paid to do this. Yes, there's ups and downs, and yeah, trust me, there's definitely a lot of downs, and there's moments where it's tough, but it's so worth it at the end of the day when you have an experience like the one at the conference where it's like, oh yeah, like, people are so excited about the thing that I get to see every day and I get exposure to. But I just hope that one day, the day never comes where I become numb to it. Cause I think that's where it's like, for me, that would be the time that I need to call it, because it is so impactful, the platform that we stand on. And from a partnership perspective, for me, it's the best of every single world, because you get to be able to partner with these brands who have that money to spend. Like, they have this money, they're just figuring out where they want to spend it. And we have this platform, and we want to figure out who we can partner with, who aligns with our values, who has the same vision. And we don't have to agree on everything, but we definitely have to align. That was a quote from the conference. I don't know if you remember that one, but I love that one. And I think it's so true about partnerships, because at the end of the day, we're both trying to leverage the platforms we have to just do good. And so we just had two games in Abu Dhabi, like, to your point about having that global reach, like, the league, our organization, we're really trying to continue to push, because there is that excitement there. Like, the fans, the community in Abu Dhabi, I wasn't there, but from what I heard, they were so excited. I mean, you can see it in all the videos and pictures. And for me, that's what it's about, because we have this platform to just use however we want to use, and it's up to us. And we could sit here and just ride on the wave of being a really good basketball team and leave it at that. But we, like, our general manager has crafted a roster of not just good basketball players, but good people and players. So when you have all of that aligned, from your GM and your president, all the way down to your front office, to your part-time staff, like, that's what creates something so special. And so being able to be in the landscape of the business where you're literally using that and being able to be on the front lines of showing brands who we are and telling our story, like, I think that's my favorite part of it so far, is just being able to tell the Buck story that so many people don't quite know. They see Giannis, they see the fun on the court, and we had obviously an amazing season in 2021, and that is incredible in itself. But I personally don't think that's why you work in sports, to win a championship necessarily. You're working because you have the ability to make an impact regardless of the product of the wins or losses. Like, yes, those will come hand in hand. As you have a great business team, you're going to have a great product on the court too, when everyone's aligned in that way. But to sum it up, I would say, like, the partnership aspect, like being able to see our partnerships with local brands, national brands, and global brands come to fruition, and see what everyone's different objectives are, and see how every partnership is unique. Like, I love the strategy of our department to just be listeners and proactively create solutions to each business's and each brand's needs, and not just cookie cutting and saying, here's that, here's that. Like, no, we're proactively trying to make these solutions and seeing courts being built in the community, doing, you know, different toy drives, like different things like that, where we're able to really tap into the community. Like, those are my favorite partnerships to see, because it's tangible things and you get to see Bucks fans and people maybe who didn't know what the Bucks are and now are becoming these huge fans. Like, people from all walks of life are being unified by this brand that we get to work for. And I'm geeking out, but I think that's the coolest thing ever.
No, I think it's awesome. And I don't know about anybody else listening. All of a sudden I'm like, I want to be you, Mia. No, I just, like, you know, I remember as you were talking about it, I used to go in when I was at the Nets, and like every day that I got to go back to my seat at my desk, I felt so lucky. And I was so excited, so fired up every single day. So you kind of like are rekindling that excitement. And I love the way you talked about, because I think some people think about sports and they, you know, of like the old school kind of like either logo slapping or these kind of just like cool things people do because they like the sport. But, and so I love what I started to say was, I love the way you talked about your focus, or that the strategy that you have is really like of listening first and creating solutions for these brands through the platform that you, you know, bring to the table. And I think, you know, that should be foundational for anybody who's in the partnership space. And so I'm glad that you have brought that up. I know it's something that I really learned when I was coming up watching Matt operate. And, you know, when you see people who are really great deal makers, it really is all about listening, creating, it's like putting the pieces of the puzzle together that really do solve challenges. And sometimes it's you're solving a challenge that a brand may or may not even know, but you can help point out through your solution.
Yes, exactly. Like, at the end of the day, we're the experts in the business. We're the experts of our business and our brand. So sometimes we're able to see things from a different lens, and vice versa for them too. And I think that's the coolest part. And to your point, Matt just has that different vision. He's been able to instill that in me. Like, if you asked me that question 6 months ago, I wouldn't have been able to really put those thoughts into actual words and know what it meant. But now, like, seeing him act day to day and literally acting with the partner's best interest, like, that is so refreshing and so empowering to see, because it's like, yeah, like, we are all in this to do good and to act in everyone's best interest. Not ours. Like, we are in this business of the people and serving our partners and future partners. Like, that's what it's about.
Right. And I love that, like, he's clearly setting that vision, because you're working probably more closely with Mallory on the day to day. So it's, you know, I mean, for you to be able to be with her in the day to day and experiencing that, it's the way you're talking about. Like, again, you've only been in this seat for a short period of time. like the degree to which it seems that Mallory has really worked to instill this in you, and to your point about bring you into different meetings, and, you know, but again, like for you to be a sponge in those moments and soak it all in, is really so important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, all of this would be nothing without the platform to do so. Like if Mallory didn't open the door for all these things, I wouldn't be able to. And so I think to your point about just leadership in general, like she and Matt, like those two are the epitome. I feel like I keep touching on it, but it's true, because they really, like, I have yet to hear Mallory tell me no to an idea or some concept that I have when pitching someone or coming up with a proposal. Like she is always empowering any idea I have and saying, okay, yeah, like how can we make it happen? Whether it's in regards to partnerships or something outside of my day-to-day that we're working on with like an employee resource group or something beyond the business. It's so great. It's so fulfilling to have someone like that who is not going to tell you no, though maybe say, how about we try this? But it's always, okay, how can we make this work?
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we have talked about so many things here today, and I just appreciate you sharing so genuinely. And I just keep being amazed by your presence and all that you've learned in such a short period of time. So I'm going to ask just a couple of wrap up questions. So kind of for the others who are coming up in the industry, is there any like one tip that you would have for those who are coming up in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was listening to some podcast the other day that used the acronym OQP, and it's only quality people. And I think that's the epitome of what I've always tried to sum up when someone asks me that question, or when I ask someone else that question and they say something along those lines, like surround yourself with only quality people. And when you do that, you're pouring into not only your cup, but then pour into their cup as well. Like, don't only go to people when you need something, and don't only go to people to get something from them. Like, yeah, I may be younger in the business, I may not have as much experience, but there's always something we can give to others. And it takes time to find that. But I think when people, especially people coming up, still in school, whatever it may be, like, if you really focus on finding those people who will be in your corner and who will fight for you, and when you're not in the room, are they going to talk about you, and are they going to give you credit for an idea you had? Like, are they going to uplift you and lift as they're climbing? I think that's what it comes down to. And there's, in my mind, there's no bad conversation or interaction you can have. You can always, like we said at the beginning, there's always something you can take away from something, whether it's positive or negative, and then you learn from that. And when it comes down to just building a community of people, like, yeah, maybe you won't necessarily have as good of a connection with someone as you do with another person, but it's all teaching you something. And at the end of the day, you're just building that community of people who are going to give you, and you're going to also give to them. And so if you have that mentality, it's definitely worked for me so far. And I've been able to find some pretty amazing people just with having the mentality of, I want to get to know you. Like, it doesn't have to be about business. That's not what I want to talk about this whole time, quite frankly. Like, I want to get to know you. I want to get to know what your family is like. Like, what do you like to do outside of work? And by having that mindset of, all right, let's just get to know each other, like, it's turned a lot of these professional relationships for me into really good friendships that I'm like, wow, 2 years ago, I didn't even know this person. Like, how is this possible? But it's so rewarding at the end of the day.
2 months ago, you didn't even know me, but that's so great. So you answered also, like, how do you network like a boss? So you answered that one as well in that. So thank you. So that was very much, it's funny because you shared that, you said OQP, only quality people, right? You shared that through the lens of like people coming up, but I think any of us listening to that can definitely take that one in mind. The other question is kind of like on that opposite side of the generations who are older than you, are ahead of you. Is there anything that you would like to make like that generation to know or to think or to realize?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. I've never been asked that one before. I think And it goes both ways. Like, it goes for everyone looking at different generations. I think just the idea of acting with empathy, because it's something I really try to hold myself to every day, down to the most tiniest of conversations, like acting with that extra bit of empathy, even if you think you're already being empathetic, like add that little bit, because at the end of the day, we all have our own experiences. And especially when you're looking at different generations, like we're all going to have different experiences that shape the way we think, the way we act, especially when it comes down to professional environments. Yeah. But it does carry to personal as well. And I think that when people from different generations can look at mine and vice versa and realize that, okay, like this is how they were brought up. This is how it was like for them in a classroom environment. This is what it was like for them maybe playing sports, like whatever experience it is, whether it's big or small, it clearly has an effect in the way that we act and the way we carry ourselves, whether it's in a meeting or in a one-on-one, like anything like that in a professional environment. And I think sometimes, and myself included, we can get so quick to be so frustrated at, oh my gosh, why'd they do that? Why did they not respond in this time frame? Like things like that. And ultimately it only hurts us when we get so consumed in that. But I've really tried to frame my mindset to be like, okay, they probably had some different experience that made them act a certain way. And it's different than mine. It doesn't mean that it's better or worse. It's just different. And if we can have that level of understanding, like, because I know I definitely hear it a lot, because some people will think I'm in a different generation. So they'll talk about Gen Z, even though I'm part of it. They'll talk about it to me and be like, oh my gosh, they're whatever adjectives they use, which could be right, could be wrong. But I think if we just take a step back and be like, all right, Gen Z had these experiences, especially like with COVID, like they were in college for COVID. Maybe this is why they're acting a certain way. Like, I think there can be that level, deeper level of understanding at times. And like I said, it goes both ways. Like we all can be more understanding and empathetic at the end of the day.
Yeah. No, it's a great point though, I think, because again, it things can move so fast and we have so much on our plates. And yeah, when you're in a seat of leadership and you're, you know, people are in your care, I think it is really helpful to have that kind of like dial up that level of empathy so that it's before acting, take a moment. And you were saying earlier about, I can't remember what it was that you were saying about, it was like, you said about your job, take a moment every day to have like a pinch yourself moment. But yes, I think it's also like taking these moments, you know, as we're going about the days to actually exercise some additional empathy before taking action in a certain way. So thank you. Those were great. Thank you so much. So again, we've covered so many things today. So one thing I like to do as I wrap up every episode is to ask the guest, because we cover so many things, if there were one or two things that the audience takes away that you want to make sure that they take away from your episode, what would that be?
Yeah. So I think at the core of it, it's passion. Like that's what it's all about for me. And I would hope that, once again, regardless of who's watching it, what experience you come from, what background you have, like find what you're passionate about and find what wakes you up in the morning and surround yourself with people who are equally, if not more, passionate about, and it doesn't have to be about the same thing, but like finding people who share certain levels of passion that force you to reflect and be like, oh my gosh, I got to find more things that light that fire underneath me and that wake me up in the morning and that make me want to wake up in the early morning and stay up late at night working on these extra projects. Like that's what it's about for me, because when I surround myself with people just like that, I get so empowered just seeing, even though in my heart, I may know, yeah, I'd never be able to pursue that certain hobby or that's not personally in my lane, but seeing someone pursue that certain thing with the level of passion they do have, it makes me want to find more things that, once again, ignite that light and fire underneath me. And so it's that cliche saying, and I don't know if I'm in the minority or whatnot, but I love going to work every day and I genuinely mean that. There's definitely some tough days, but there's also so many great days. And I think at the end of the day, I wouldn't love going to work as much as I do if I wasn't surrounded by the people that I'm surrounded by. And if I didn't have the resources that I do have that are provided to me by the organization. And once again, like, I wouldn't have been put in this position if I didn't really reflect on what I'm passionate about and what's important to me and what I need from a job and from an organization and from mentors, all of those that fall into really just one bucket when you break it down. And it's something, obviously being so early in my career too, that I still want to take time and be intentional with reflecting what are my passions? What can I do a better job at exploring? And I think that, like, the bottom line is, no matter what stage we're at, like, never stop trying to find the things that wake you up in the morning and that make you excited to be alive, because it can be work. And I think there's this notion that work is bad and we all, like, have to go to work and have to wake up. But it's like, no, I get to do this. Like, I get to go to the office after this and I get to be around people who are excited to be there. And when you do that, like, everything else, small problems, big problems, they're all just things that you'll find a solution to and you'll figure it out. But when you love what you do and you love who you're around, like, everything finds its way in the end.
Oh, that is great. I'll tell you what, you have lit a fire in me for the day, the week. I'm sure, you know, those listening, I hope that you feel the same. And I don't know about you folks, but I'm over here, like, taking bets on where Mia's going to be in the and how quickly you are, you know, advancing in your career. Goodness. Where the hell you're going to be in 5 years, but it's going to be somewhere. And I'm so glad to be a part of your journey. You're phenomenal. I just so appreciate knowing Matt and Mallory and that they're part of your journey. Love what you all are doing. So thank you so much for joining us today and all that you shared.
Oh, thank you, Shauna, for having me and for being part of my life now, even for the short amount of time we've known each other.
Absolutely. All right. Everybody have an awesome day. Thanks again, Mia.
Thanks, Shauna.